Israel, Am Israel.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generation.
The Eternal Life. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations make free time available to present The Eternal Life, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our drama today is Morton Wishengrad's Valley Forge and features Charles Irving. Valley Forge. Ice is on the Schuylkill, and blood is on the snow of Pennsylvania. A fine dust of hail runs before the wind and covers the bloody footprints. But always the blood reappears, confirmation in crimson that the army remains. In the valley lie the naked, starving rabble of the Continental Army of His Excellency, the Commander-in-Chief, General George Washington.
What do you want?
There's meat in the wagon, Captain.
Pull it out, Berger.
Yes, sir.
The meat belongs to me.
Up with it, Henry.
All right. That's veal, Captain. Fine veal, sir.
Put it down, you blackguard. The meat belongs to me.
Does it, Farmer?
I say the meat belongs to me.
Good, then we can talk business. Where are you bound?
That's my business.
You go to Philadelphia, Farmer, don't you?
I said... That's my business.
You'd sell to Lord Howe and leave us to starve? Berger, men, easy. I said easy.
Farmer, we're not thieves, we're soldiers. The army pays 10 pence a pound for veal. It's a good price.
The British pay 10 shillings.
Why, you dirty profiteering dog.
Pull back,
Berger. I'll have to. Pull back.
Well?
Yes, Captain. Back, girl. Back.
Farmer, if you're an American, you'll not sell to the enemy and see your own soldiers go without.
I don't know anything about that. Have ye silver?
No. But we've good continental currency.
Continental currency, do you say? Give me a wagon load of your continentals. I'll give you my veal pound for pound.
Let's dump the wagon and take it.
None of that, Berger.
I say dump it.
I say no. Do you hear me? No. We're soldiers, do you hear? All right, Farmer, you can go, but we shan't forget. Back to camp, men.
Right.
Berger, I said back.
December 1777. Valley Forge. The ordeal of the American Revolution.
Why? What are we waiting around here like?
All right, move along, next.
I'm next, Dr. Waldo.
What's wrong with you, lad? You look healthy enough.
I have the itch, Doctor.
Do you complain, lad? So have I.
But Doctor...
Get along, lad. Can you not afford hospitality to a few of God's homeless creatures? Get along, lad. Leave me to attend my patient. You're next.
The name is Berger, sir.
All right, Berger. What's with thee?
Dysentery, Dr. Waldo.
A good democratic complaint, Mr. Berger? Go back and rest.
Don't you have anything to give me, Doctor?
I told you what to do. Rest.
Yes, I see. Then, Doctor, something for a man in our tent. You saw Andrews last week, sir. The fever is still bad.
Andrews. Ah, yes, I remember.
Orderly, give him some mutton and grog for the sick man.
Right away, Dr. Waldo.
Is that all, Doctor? Mutton and grog?
Capital medicine, Mr. Berger. Besides, it's all I have.
Well, I thought, Doctor... I suppose it's no use.
Look here, Berger. I'm no believer in pills or powders. I'll have none of the Boston physic that makes a man vomit up his money instead of his disease.
Yes, sir.
And be thankful for the mutton and grog. There'll be none of it tomorrow for your friend Andrews. Well, get along, I said. Get along.
What's so long, Henry? Where have you been, Berger? I'm freezing.
Now lie down, Andrews. I'll start the fire.
Here's the tinder, lad.
Oh, that tinder is wet, Berger.
Give it here, lad. The tinder is wet, but the powder's dry. There, catch it quick. That will do it. Henry, fetch some rails.
But, Berger, it said Washington forbids burning the farmer's rails.
Good, then we'll burn the farmer's house. But I shan't freeze. Fever and frost and farmers, more than I can bear.
They're not all bad, Andrews. Some of the farmers brought food today.
No, it's not them. The others, the pious, psalm-singing patriots who carry their produce to the British. I hate them.
Andrews, why don't you go to the surgery?
No. If I'm to die, I'd sooner die here.
Inside there. Inside the tent.
Why is no sentry posted?
Wait, it's not my turn, Captain.
Is it yours, Berger?
No, sir. I've been at your comfort. Andrews.
And if it is?
Mr. Andrews, I don't like your tone. Stand up when you address an officer.
The man is ailing, Captain.
Never mind that. Stand up, Andrews, and go to your post.
I'll go. I'll go when you give me food.
I've none to give. Boil the leather strap of your musket.
I've already tasted that delicacy.
Go to your post, Andrews.
Do you mutiny, mister?
I want bread.
I said go to your post, soldier.
No bread, Captain. No soldier.
Pay him no mind, sir. He's with the typhus. I'll go for him.
Well, Berger, you've just come back. Let me go instead.
Thanks, lad. It's all right. For an old hand like me, this cold isn't so bad. Now, give us your scarf, Henry, and another wrapping for the feet.
All right.
Captain, you won't report Andrews, sir, will you? He's not accountable now for what he says.
Yes, I understand, Berger. You're a good man. I won't report him. Go to the post.
Henry, did you find him?
No, not a sign. Andrews, there's no trace of him. I can't understand it. Berger should have been back 2 hours ago.
Did you look for tracks in the snow, boy?
Oh, I didn't think of that. I'm a fool.
He'll be taken for a deserter if he's found. He'll be shot. Find him, Henry.
Yes, I
will. Bring him back. Bring him back.
Berger. Jonathan Berger.
Young Henry King in the bitter December of 1776, looking in the Pennsylvania snow
Berger.
For tracks.
Jonathan Berger, do you hear me?
Going further from the camp.
Jonathan Berger.
Moving out of bounds.
Berger!
While Andrew waited, burning with fever and fear.
Berger! Berger! Oh, thank God.
Did you follow me, lad?
You'll be reported missing. They'll take you as a deserter.
Me? Are you crazy, Henry?
Then why?
Look there, on the road. Hmm? Deer tracks. Hmm. All the way nearby, there's a deer run. Meat, Henry. Meat for Jack Andrews.
Shh, Berger. Someone's coming.
I have nothing to hide. Yeah, stay right with me.
Berger, it's the captain.
Hello there. Oh, boy. Ooh. Who goes on the road?
It's us, Captain. Jonathan Berger and Henry King.
Hello. Why are you out of bounds?
We're seeking game, Captain.
Is that so? Go back to your tent, both of you. You know better.
It's to know better, sir, that a man in our tent is perishing for the lack of a bit of fresh meat.
I'm truly sorry, Berger, but don't go any farther.
Ain't no man to stop me, Captain. Not even General Washington himself.
Mr. Berger, do you rebel?
Rebel? The word is apt, Captain. Why not? The colonies are rebels. We're an army of rebels, aren't we?
Please, Captain, he's lightheaded. He hasn't eaten
don't
today.
Don't interrupt, lad. Captain, I ask you, what man set foot in America who wasn't a rebel? We're the most rebellious, dissentious nation on God's earth.
Enough, Doctrine Berger. Go back to your tent.
Here's more doctrine, Captain.
Eh?
My musket. Good democratic doctrine, sir.
What do you mean, Berger?
There's a charge of gunpowder in my musket, Captain. That's what I mean. It makes me the equal of his lordship.
Mister, do you threaten me?
I don't threaten anyone, Captain. But you will observe that I carry my musket, and the lad here, his.
I observe.
And, sir, you have only your sword.
For the last time, go back to your tent.
I am going back with meat, Captain.
I see. I shall have to do my duty, Mr. Berger. I shall have to report you. Get up!
He'll report us for desertion.
No, not he. For insubordination, perhaps, but not desertion. Now, let's go, Henry. The game won't wait for us. Nor will Andrew's fever. Good shot, Henry. That got him. Oh, what's the matter, boy? You're shaking all over.
Am I?
Buck fever. You shot a man at Trenton without flinching, but you trembled before a deer. I'll curse the war that makes a lad like you.
Hold there!
But you...
We're in for it, Berger. They heard the shot.
Surrounded, Ben. It looks like we caught a couple of deserters. Don't let them get away.
Corporal, I give you these prisoners in charge. They're to wait outside until summoned by the court-martial.
Yes, sir. Provost, I know these soldiers. They're good men. What's the charge against them?
Desertion and being absent from post for this one. Desertion for the boy.
Well, I suggest you let the men go into the house or you'll have dead prisoners on your hands.
But, Captain, if I
do... Be a good fellow, Provost. You don't want to cheat the court-martial, do you? Let them to the house before they freeze.
And those are the charges against them, General Washington.
I see. Gentlemen, what have you to say? You may have a lawyer if you wish. Captain Ellison has sent word that he'd be happy to represent you.
Did he, General? We won't forget that. But if you don't object, General, I'd like to speak for myself and for the lad.
I have no objections. Proceed.
Thank you, General Washington. All night long, I thought of what I would say. Now, it's hard to say it. General Washington, gentlemen, I've served the Army since the beginning. The boy since he was 16.
We know that, Mr. Berger.
The muskets we carry, they're our own. The uniforms, our own rags, sir. We haven't been paid. We've been sick. We've been in hunger. And I think I don't complain of that. Oh, I've complained about good many things like the other men. But complaint for an American is no sin.
Well spoken, Mr. Berger.
Thank you, sir. The lad and me, we fight for the colonies. We know there are many in the colonies who side with the enemy and oppose us. I think perhaps we complain most of that. But whatever we think, sir, we've never thought of desertion because of that. No, nor because of anything. We were at Brandywine and Germantown. You think if we didn't desert then, we'd do it now? I admit to leaving my post. But you know why. And the lad went to find me. We aren't deserters, sir. That's the whole truth.
Are you done, Mr. Berger?
One thing more, if I may be allowed, sir.
Yes?
In the entire army, I should be the last to desert, sir.
Why, Mr. Berger?
Because my father came to the colonies from a place in Bavaria. A place where they burned down a synagogue.
You are a Jew.
Yes, sir. Each day I praise God that I am an American. And in America.
What, Mr. Berger, is an American?
I don't rightly know, sir. Our rabbi says it is what a man is and not what he has.
Tell me, Mr. Berger, do you make texts like your rabbi when the enemy approaches?
No, sir. I leave texts for Lord Howe.
How so?
To explain to His Majesty why he wins every engagement yet cannot defeat us.
I like you, Mr. Berger. I think you're a good soldier. Everything you've told us convinces us that you're fine men, both of you. But an army rises or falls on discipline, and you have broken discipline. I'm sorry, Mr. Berger, but for the good of the army, we shall have to make an example of you.
The regiment's all present and accounted for, sir.
Very good, Captain. What is your muster?
200 men, sir.
Where are the others, Captain? Your orders are to march the whole regiment.
The others are unfit for duty, General Washington.
Oh, I should have known. Provost ready?
He is, sir.
This is a dirty business, Captain. I'm sick of it. All right, Captain. Whenever you're ready.
Yes, sir. Drummer!
It is the order of the court-martial that for the offenses committed, the prisoners are each to receive 20 strokes of the lash. I warn the men present against any demonstration or outcry. Provost, the lash!
Berger. Where's Berger?
Easy, Henry. He's asleep. He's all right. It was the cold more than the lash. The brutes, the filthy brutes.
Andrews, go back to your blanket. You mustn't be up. You're
no,
sick.
That's all right, Henry. I'm stronger than you think. I'm Jack Andrews. Well, I spit no grass grows.
How can you joke?
I'll joke or go mad. Which will you have?
Water, Andrews. Some water.
It's in my hand, boy. Here. Hold up your head.
More. More, Andrews.
No more. You'll get sick. Oh, why did he go off for that deer, that dumb, scuttle-faced fool?
You know, the first time I've seen Washington so close. His nose is pitted with the pox, Andrews. But he laughed. You could see he was pleased by what Berger said.
The greater the crime, then. I hate the army, Henry. I'm not going to stay another day. Henry, let's go. Let's get out. Let's quit.
Andrews, you don't mean that.
I'm sick, do you hear? I'm not going to die in this tent. Better in the snow where a man can fall asleep and think he's warm.
Andrews.
Berger. I thought you were asleep.
No. Just too weak to talk. Throw a stick on the fire. We'll go to sleep.
I'm glad you heard. My mind is fixed. If you and Henry won't go with me, there are others who will.
Andrews, you can't quit now.
They whipped you.
It's no skin off your back.
You let them beat you and you say that? Are you a man? Jonathan Berger, will you snivel and smile and give a kiss for a lashing?
Oh, you're sick,
Andrews. Yeah, but I'm not mad. You were lashed.
I had a fair trial.
Your back isn't so fair.
It will heal. Go back to your blanket.
No, I'm going out.
You're going to stay here.
Why? Tell me why.
You belong here, that's why. Men like you don't run from a fight. The fight follows. Then you have to fight alone.
What's the difference?
You know what it is. No single man can make the fight. But all men together. You can't run from the fight and find what you look for. What you look for is right here.
Whose fight? The merchants, the aristocrats?
Yes, the merchants, the aristocrats. But your fight, too. One thing at a time, Andrews.
Curse you, Jonathan Berger. May heaven curse you.
And you'll stay.
May you have the black pox.
But you'll stay.
I hope your teeth rot with scurvy.
But you'll stay.
Yes! I'll stay.
Because you believe me?
Quit it, will you? Don't plague me. I said I'd stay. What more do you want?
Andrews. Andy. I want you to stay only if you want to stay. It must not be otherwise.
Now, quit. Quit. I want to stay. You know it, so I'm no deserter.
Don't go, Captain. I want to talk.
You need sleep, General Washington.
Let Lord Howe sleep. I'm depressed. I'm tired and weary and depressed. Mrs. Washington thought to comfort me. She sent me her Bible, Captain. Look at the comfort. It opened in my fingers to the book of Job. My breath is corrupt. My days are extinct. The graves are ready for me. Are there not mockers with me? And doth not mine eye continue in their provocation?
Close the book, sir. You have tribulations enough for one man.
I doubt myself, Captain. Am I worthy of the fidelity of the men? I've always failed.
That isn't true, sir.
But it is true. It has always been true. At Fort Necessity 30 years ago, I failed. The Ohio campaign, failure. It hasn't changed. New York, Germantown, Brandywine, failures, all of them. The campaign against Canada miscarried, lost the whole thing.
Sir, you are a rock that grows on adversity.
Before God, I hope you're right. Captain, this is a great country. There are 2 million people in it. Something will come of them in spite of our failures. In spite of the Congress that sits and talks and sits and talks and promises. Captain, we need a miracle. Where is there a miracle? Where?
Valley Forge was the miracle. Out of the ordeal and the blood on the snow and the rabble in the tents, something emerged. Spring came and the stricken, starved men stirred and quickened in the thin April sun. The men took ashes and sand and washed their rags in the river, and they were refreshed and clean. And that was a miracle. The shad in the thousands came boiling up the river to spawn. Another miracle. At Pauling's Ford, the half-crazy men stretched a net. They ate the first fish raw. Then they cooked it and ate more. Then they salted the rest. A fat little man named von Steuben began to drill them. Yes, he drilled them. They were awkward. They vexed him. He lost patience. But he drilled them. And they became an army. The army of human freedom that marches still. The army of...
We hold these truths to be self-evident. That all men are created equal. That they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. That among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Now we hear an address by Walter I. Sundland, prominent attorney, speaking from Providence, Rhode Island. Mr. Sundland.
Men and women of America, on July 4th, we shall again celebrate our nation's birthday. Let us recall the preamble of our Constitution. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare and secure the blessings of our liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. It was first written at Valley Forge with the blood of invincible Americans of yesteryear who fought and died that this nation might live. From then on, our country never unsheathed its sword except in defense of freedom and liberty. Our nation just ended a war to strike down the madmen of Europe who tried to enslave mankind. Our legions, men and women of all faiths, Protestant, Catholic, and Jews, fought tenaciously for freedom and gave their all so that our banner of freedom should not fall. Mankind cannot forget the concentration camps and the crematories, the thousands of helpless little children and fine women and dignified mothers and fathers who endured tortured death because of intolerance and bigotry in its worst form. Almighty God did not give life a prophecy of hate, ignorance, and bigotry. Sins that blot, that have bloodstained the pages of history. Where did man get his godless intolerance? Let us proclaim as long as the heart shall beat, the dignity of man shall remain inviolate and complete. During the last war, men and women rose to a magnanimity of human life to save the lives of others who were of different faiths. Recall the Protestant, Catholic, and Jewish chaplain who gave up their life belt upon a destroyed and rapidly sinking ship, who went to their deaths arm in arm so that others might live. Remember our sons and daughters of all faiths who fought and died to destroy barbarism and bigotry. Remember the chaplains, irrespective of their own faiths, who administered the dying GI when one of his own faith was not available. If in that intense struggle for life and country, men could rise to such nobility of character, then we surely should and can unite to drive out of our midst the sinister forces of intolerance. If a better world is to rise out of the rubble and ashes of the old, then such a spirit must rule our minds, move our hearts, and possess our souls as never before. Fellow Americans, with an invincible faith and an unbreakable spirit, the spirit of Valley Forge must live on and thus keep our nation a citadel of freedom and liberty for all.
Thank you, Mr. Sundland. Today's Eternal Life program, Valley Forge, was written by Morton Wishengrad. The original music was composed by Morris Momorsky and conducted by Milton Cadams. Featured as Jonathan Berger was Charles Irving. Arthur Cole played Andrews. James McCallion was Henry King. The part of the captain was performed by Grant Richards. Cantor David Putterman sang the liturgical introduction. The entire production was under the direction of Dan Sutter. Valley Forge was originally produced by the NBC University of the Air. If you would like a free copy of the script, write to The Eternal Life, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. This program is a weekly presentation of the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations in cooperation with the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.